into making payments and saving for more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Welcome to the Henry Rains Show here at WWPR, 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12:05 PM till 1:30 PM, maybe sooner. And later, we will get to a longer edition of this, but right now, it's a crypto Christmas. That's right, it's the crypto Christmas edition of the Henry Rains Show, your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain news, and we have a full panel in the house, coming to the house, and arriving by phone to the house later on. But this week is another week, another record high for cryptocurrency's market cap, followed by a $150 billion contraction, followed by a $100 billion comeback, although I think it's a little bit more than a $100 billion comeback right now. Coinbase begins trading Bitcoin Cash and leaves Asif Hirji, Coinbase's president, with egg on his face. Plus, in a Henry Rains Show exclusive, we have a special hot mic secret audio clip of Coinbase's planning audio for the Bitcoin Cash rollout, and we'll have that for you later in the probably the first half of the show when we talk about the Bitcoin Cash rollout, and you want to be sure to hear that. Goldman Sachs to open cryptocurrency trading desk by June, and talk of central banks using cryptocurrency as a reserve currency is a whole new ball game. And before the show is over, many of you and some of us here in the studio are going to be going down to Miami January 18th for the North American Bitcoin Conference. And at that Bitcoin Conference, there's 68 speakers, two of which are female. So we intend and are expecting to have three great female cryptocurrency intellects on the show today. So I think we can safely say that if the Bitcoin Conference could only find two in all of North America, then we must today on this show have the greatest assembly of cryptocurrency female experts in the continent, on the continent, in the continent, around the continent, anywhere you find that. And let's start out, first of all, with our first guest like that. And that would be Colleen, Twitter's crypto noob girl, who now, since the last time we saw you, is about 4,000 followers on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm sneaking up on that number, yes.
Yeah, it's close. And we'll talk to Andy in a minute, but he knows about those followers, how they just start glomming on. And then, speaking of which, let's go right to the man that called the crash and the bounce. And that would be TradingView.com, excuse me, Goldbug1, a.k.a. Andy.
Good afternoon, Henry. I'm glad I'm in the house today. Interesting week, huh?
Yes, and of course, in the reflected glory of it all, you were been on the show week after week, giving heads up week after week, and you had a very special column. You actually did more than one column this week because you were talking about sentiment earlier in the week, then you sort of hit the nail on the head, and then you did a follow-up. So forgive us just a quick thumbnail of what you said. We'll come back to it in detail later.
Well, it was just getting a little too bullish. I mean, up over 300%. Currencies were going crazy. And I woke up one morning, and I looked on the on TradingView, and all I saw was long, 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 long. And when everybody's going long, I think you take some money off the table, and that's what we decided to do. It was just kind of a, timing the market like that is a one in a million chance. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but it just happened to happen 12 hours before the market crashed.
Well, and also in a semi-basking reflected glow, that would be the man to your right, politically to your left, but he is here today. And
don't really care if you live your life, because that's the fuck without a mic on track.
And the man that's been calling the crash for week after week here. He got his moment in the sun, too. Augie, hey.
Good morning, everyone. Pop, pop, pop goes the weasel, and more pops are on the horizon. They're bound to happen when there's so much enthusiasm in one direction. Beware, beware. Foreclosure is at hand. Bankruptcy's around the corner. I do think you've got a chance for some kind of resolution of the problem, but it really requires deciding which Bitcoin, which digital currency is real and which is something of a follower.
And maybe even which is being conspired against. Going across the studio now, when we have a full house, it takes a while to get through all these intros, but we are going to do it. His phone was ringing off the hook, if phones still were on a hook, but his voicemail, I'm sure, was filling up, too. That would be Alex Solis of Solis Digital Assets. Do you have a few of your clients and not-so-much clients calling you for advice this week?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me if they should sell or what should they do, and I just told them keep buying on the dips. Just keep going. Don't stop.
All right. Well, we'll go back to that in just a moment. And as I said, we are today assembling the greatest collection of female intellectual cryptocurrency talent in North America, and really because the great leadership of the United States of America in women's rights. And you can ask any successful journalist like this, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, they will tell you women's rights are paramount in the United States of America. So we have the greatest collection in North America, because we have the greatest, largest collection of North America, much more than the Bitcoin Conference, we must have the greatest collection of female intellectual cryptocurrency knowledge in the world. And perhaps with this guest, it would be in the universe, because that is where she performs her profession, and that would be...
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars.
And, of course, that would be the successful science fiction romance fantasy novelist, Sabine Priestley, joining us in the studio again. Hi, Sabine.
Hi, everybody, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas back to you. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're all here now. And then coming up later to round out the triptych of female geniuses of cryptocurrency, Rosa Shores will be joining us along with her partner at Block Spaces and the meetups up in Tampa, Gabe Higgins. So having said all that, we have a lot of ground to cover. And that would be the crash, the bounce, whatever you want to call it, likely to be one of the biggest corrections ever seen in the burgeoning cryptocurrency market. The market shed billions on Friday. At Friday's press time for this particular article, the total value of all currencies, including Bitcoin and the 1,300 others trading, was down more than 30% from its all-time high of $650 billion. While the markets hit a low of $418 billion year over year, the markets are still up 4,000%, just under $10 billion. Theories abound on why this happened. The price of Bitcoin fell nearly 5,000 in just hours to drop below $11,000. Keep that number in mind, because I'm sure Andy is going to remind you about that in just a moment. And the cryptocurrencies follow the downward trend, many dropping 30 to 40%. At $10,800, the price of Bitcoin is nearly half of it was when it topped $19,783 last Sunday. And a lot of reasons why this is, but even if you don't know the reasons, you maybe can see the trend, and I think we're going to have to swing the boom right around to Andy and Sabine. Maybe if Alex over there elevates the microphone for you and Colleen, we'll be able to work all three of you on that mic.
We need some more equipment here. I mean, we're running this radio show, aren't we, Henry?
I think we dominate Saturday on the airwaves here. I think that's safe to say.
I agree.
Okay, so what were you looking at the charts earlier in the week? We made mention that you were noticing things going on about everybody being long. And I have something for us. So go give us a quick roundup. I want to play audio and then come back to you.
Well, it was just quick, you know, it seemed to be sputtering. The whole market, or not the whole market, but the Bitcoin market seemed to be sputtering, and Bitcoin leads the market. And it was forming a nice rounded top, and it with everybody going long, it's just a good time to take some money off the table and tighten up and get ready to wipe out, ride out an impending hurricane if it hits. So, and we just happened to notice it at the right time, and the hurricane hit, and we rode it out and picked up some good deals down there at the bottom.
All right, and let's hear CNBC's breathless coverage of this yesterday, especially remember the name Novogratz as that opens up. We have lots more on this, but we'll start with just the overview.
Hildy, we just learned that longtime Bitcoin bull Mike Novogratz is putting his plans to launch a crypto hedge fund on pause due to market conditions, although he says that he's still building out a full merchant bank for cryptocurrencies. Now, after surging to over 20,000, Bitcoin has plunged below 13,000. Guys, that's an over $7,000 move in the span of 6 days. Bitcoin now down 40% since last Sunday when the CME Bitcoin futures contract went live. The sell-off not confined to just Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, Litecoin, among other cryptocurrencies, are now down 20% in the last 24 hours. When it pertains to Bitcoin, though, there have been five separate instances this year when Bitcoin has dropped 30%. But for long-term investors, here's a silver lining. The 30% drop has been followed by an average 20% gain 1 week after. Guys?
Okay. You saw the 11,000 mark. I've seen it in your columns. They're time-stamped, so I know you did it. You didn't backdate it like some people do at work.
Yeah, right.
And why 11,000?
Well, it was just a Fibonacci retracement, and
which is
a mathematical sequence of natural occurring events, and they happen in.
So if someone's looking at a chart, say the name of the line again, please.
Fibonacci.
So there's a one line to the top and one line to the bottom, right?
For a retracement, no, you just go one line to the top. What it is, it's the percentage difference in the last run. So in a normal run, the pullbacks are 38.2% or 62.1%.
So if it had gone below that, you would have sold?
Well, yeah. Normally it doesn't. I mean, you know, markets pattern over.
Well, we know you were right.
If it would have gone below 11,000, you know, 6,000 was my next target.
And you would not have accepted that kind of loss on your profits.
Oh, absolutely not. I would have been out.
Okay, because I know earlier in the week I was looking at my limit. It's not as vast as I'm sure the Gold Bug One investment portfolio is, but it was. I was like, man, this is too good to be true.
Yeah,
I should cash out, really, because nothing in my stock trading life has ever seen anything like this.
No.
Cash out, and then this happened, and I was like, man, the other thing I've noticed from this is a 30% drop is nothing. But we've had enough mansplaining here. Let's go to Colleen. And what were you watching this as it happened? Were you busy doing other things?
I was keeping an eye on it. It wrecked my bags momentarily, I guess. But I wasn't nervous. I knew it was going to bounce back just based on, you know, the rumors that I follow on Twitter and whatnot.
Well, and you got into this when, August?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So really, I mean, actually, what this drop was takes you back 30 days, just about, to where it was. Actually, 30 days would be more. I mean, we've had more than that of an increase.
Right.
So you getting in at August, you had more cushion than maybe some of the people that got shilled into it by family members over Thanksgiving.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, do you know anybody like that?
In fact, I signed up a few people, got them involved in Bitcoin recently, right around all-time high. So I had quite a few texts that
And did you go, this is going to be an uncomfortable Christmas when I see them again?
Well, yeah, a lot of people were asking if they should sell, and I was like, no, you're going to lose money. Just hang on. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, pretty much all my family members that would even consider this, my daughters, ex-wife, they've been in later than August, but not much later than August. So they don't even watch it, so they just do whatever I suggest. So that was good. But my sister, down in Miami, that you may get a chance to meet if we go down together, Andy. She had just gotten in like a month ago, and she was already up 200%. So, you know, she had taken my advice. I told her what to expect before this happened. Other advice I gave, and maybe we'll get Alex in on this, because for people that don't have a lot of money, that aren't counting just come in and have thousands sitting on the sideline, although that was a question she asked me, should I just put this big load of money in right away? And I was like, no, let's dollar cost average. Because one of the things that when you see this happen, if you're not used to it, like if you put in, let's just say you're a working person and you got a couple thousand that you could invest. If you put in 500 and then you see that go up and then you put in the next 500 and you see it go up a little bit and then the next 500 and it comes down, you feel a little more comfortable because you've made some profit rather than dump it all in at once. What do you see with your clients, Alex? And this is Alex Solis of Solis Digital Assets. What is that new website?
It's solisdigitalassets.com. It's almost done. I have the best developer in Bradenton, Lee. Thank you, Lee, very much. But with my clients, like
Let me back this up. When you get a client and they say they want, how do you determine? Now you don't give actual investment advice, but you try and get a sense of who they are and what they are. I would think. I mean, do you find out? Do you ask them how much money they have to invest? Do you ask them if? What do you give them? What do you tell them then, as far as how you approach? Not what you buy, not what you trade, but what's the mindset you try and figure out about them?
Suitability.
Yeah, most of my clients are like lawyers and doctors and business owners, but I do have, some minimum wage workers and all that. But what I tell them is, I tell every single one, whether poor or rich, I say, look, put everything you can that you can lose. If you can lose it, put it in. Because, if this market's too early for anyone to lose in this. I don't see how anybody loses in this. If you're trading, day trading, yes. But if you're just buying and holding, you can't lose. It's all logic to me.
You don't lose unless you sell at a loss. So let me clarify that.
But it's, if you're in the beginning, you pull out the end. You don't just pull out in the middle or in the, one-third of it. You pull out in the end.
What do you tell them to think about when, because you had a key phrase in there, don't put in money you can't afford to lose. So how do you get it? Some people, I can't afford to lose anything. This is important. I worked hard for this money.
Yeah, then they have to stay off the market. Yeah, if you can't risk, you can't win. You got, with great risk comes great reward. And everybody has to risk something in life. You either risk your time, your money, your heart.
So have you ever told a potential client, this just isn't right for you right now?
Oh, no. Only people call me who they want in. I'm not here to try to convince people. I usually manage people's accounts and all that stuff. I'm not like the guy who says, buy this coin. But when they ask me, how much money should I put in, I say, just put what you can lose because you don't want to lose sleep over this.
So it's not a casino.
No, it's not. No, this is investing.
Wins in a casino.
Yeah, this is investment. This is really not gambling. This is believing in something.
Okay, I'm another potential client here. Why? Why is this thought we're going to go up? I mean, I've heard it, and my brother-in-law is always telling me about how much money he made, and it makes me sick at the dinner table. So I need you to tell me why this is going to be something I should get into so I don't have to listen to him next Christmas.
Oh, the blockchain technology is bigger than China, Russia, and America combined.
So okay, what standard?
It's a global standard. This is, if every country is doing it, how can you lose? This is not a market where only America and Canada are doing it or people with money. This is a market where we have Bangladesh in this.
Okay.
So
let's take this over to someone whose profession requires her to be futuristic thinking. And what would you say to what Alex just said about this is bigger than anything? Sorry to paraphrase.
I think he's got a point, but it's like everything. It's a little more complicated than that. I mean, because where are you putting it? Are you banking everything in blockchain or Bitcoin? Or are you distributing? Are you going Ethereum and Litecoin and Dash and Ripple and all the other ones? That's the interesting thing for me right now is that there's a lot of scuttlebutt. The Roger Ver and who was the other guy, the other Bitcoin guy, did a good YouTube discussion. And I thought it was interesting. And that brings up another segue, a question on numbers versus ethics. So, this is a really complicated space. And if you're going to get into it, I would suggest you really get into it. Or you go with somebody like Alex and trust them, if you trust them, because it is complicated. And, I do think that this is the next big thing. But there's a whole lot of yeah buts and what ifs associated with it.
Well, one of the things that we may get into if we have time to the end of the show when we talk about central banks making cryptocurrency part of their reserves, we may touch on ethics, but we'll definitely want to touch on some of the idealism and philosophy that some of the people are doing this for, as opposed to some of the realists that are very pragmatic and self-interest motivated on this. Let's go to Augie, because you've listened to all this. Augie has no dog in the fight here, I believe. You still are a non-coin holder, correct?
Correct. I think virtual is virtual, and it isn't real.
Okay.
So what is real has got to have something of status, regulation, and consistency. It has to have containment. It has to have support. And I was told by libertarians, arch-libertarians, some of who are not here today, that we want chaos. We want chaos, and this is how you get there. It's a political argument that's being made. They desire chaos. Now, that's pretty dangerous crap. I don't want to be part of chaos, and I don't want to induce people into a chaotic situation. We had 1929. We almost had 29 again in 08. I saw foreclosures, 2,000 a week in housing. That's another bubble. When you do that sort of, right now, because of this tax rule that's been made, housing is going to fall through the floor. Realtors are losing contracts as we speak because of this new law. The value of homes is going to fall radically.
What's in the new law that's causing that?
Well, when you take away...
You're talking about the new tax law.
Right. The tax law is saying $500,000 maximum deduction. Well, many people on the interest that you on a home of $500,000.
The interest you can deduct.
So when you lose that, now the investor for bigger homes, mansions and so forth, saying, screw that, I got to buy a lot first. That's where the price is on most housing, especially in Florida, but many places. And when you don't have that as a factor any longer, it all rests upon the building.
Well, I'm going to anticipate your answer, but I'll let you say it. But what we just had a fantastic number with housing starts.
Mm-hmm. Those are all
biggest in years and years.
Predated.
Existing home sales, biggest in years and years.
Right.
It doesn't seem like people are concerned about that.
Didn't, well, that hasn't been. I just talked to a realtor 2 days ago, and he says, I'm losing contract after contract. I thought I had. They're going away.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to look at both something that Andy brought to the attention of one of the Facebook groups I follow him on, Tom Lee, who we've played the audio on here much about whether this really could be a bubble or what a bubble is, and if this was a healthy correction or not. We'll also go into a longer story from Bloomberg about Mr. Novogratz, the potential hedge fund, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency hedge fund director that is no longer going to be director. And we're going to tear apart some of the dates on this and see if he really, as Bloomberg is trying to say, was just reacting to the situation or whether this was an actual plan on his part, which would get us to the ethical discussion. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show.
Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Raines Show.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to comb it out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. 40 cups of coffee.
Wow, some people really love their coffee. But you'll experience much more to love than just the coffee at Mocha Joe's. The perfect spot for family and friends to relax with casual dining or enjoy the pastries and gourmet coffee shop at 3633 Cortez Road, West Bradenton. It will be love at first bite 7 days a week at Mocha Joe's. Thursday is prime rib night, Friday all-you-can-eat fish, and don't forget the world-famous $4.99 Saturday burger night. Vegetarian? On a gluten-free diet? You won't be left out at Mocha Joe's. There's something for everybody at Mocha Joe's.
3633 Cortez Road West. Don't believe me? Then call them up and ask for yourself at 941-753-7094. Open Sunday to Wednesday for breakfast and lunch. Thursday to Saturday for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
40 cups of coffee waiting for you to come home.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Mocha Joe's. They've got the Christmas jams going on in the coffee shop. Come in and try one of the delicious winter flavors on a chilly night. Pumpkin spice latte, the mega delicious chai tea latte, or a favorite, the chocolate mint combination and the Andes mint mocha. Look forward to seeing you all there.
Henry Rain Show here. You missed some of the comments off the air, but actually there's a way you could find that out because we are Facebooking live at the Henry Rain Show page, and we are tweeting live video on Twitter at Henry Rain Show on Twitter. So while we're at the self-promotion, I want to remind everybody that coming up next Saturday, I can confidently say it will be the biggest Bradenton Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup ever, beating the first one that we just had last month, because I know we already have twice as many members in the group and twice as many RSVPs, and I'm expecting more people than that as the days get closer, because it's never too late to procrastinate putting your RSVP in. And also, we'll be there at Mocha Joe's 3:30 to 5. So get there, and I know Andy's going to be going over some charts. Maybe he'll even go over what he was looking at this week. But, you know, a week in cryptocurrency is like 7 months in human time. So, and Alex will be there. He's going to give just some quick advice, not the full client interview and advice that he would give, but at least get people started about what exchanges are out there, using wallets, keeping your cryptocurrency secure. And then coming up in 10-15 minutes, we'll be speaking with Gabe Higgins, Rosa Shores. They, of course, are the co-owners of Blockspaces, the Tampa Bay blockchain incubator that recently launched. They're also moderators of multiple meetups up there in Tampa. But really, the Tampa Bay's blockchain Bitcoin power couple will be on here, and we'll be looking forward to that. Said we had a couple audios to try and get through here before that, though. Tom Lee is the Fundstrat Global Advisors research analyst, and he specializes in cryptocurrency. We've heard him talk on a number of different occasions. I think we even had an audio where he was on the same panel as Novogratz. Wasn't Novogratz more bullish, or that was somebody else maybe that I'm mistaking?
He's been on CNBC many times and doing some interviews, and he's got quite a good way to fundamentally.
Yeah, he hasn't been as bullish on his target prices, although he's been incrementally raising them. Not as bullish as Novogratz that we'll hear more from now. But this is Tom Lee. He's talking about this is post-correction, crash, whatever you want to call it. It's retraced most of itself now, especially in the alternate coins. And here he is, Tom Lee on CNBC. Must have been about yesterday, I believe.
Yep. Most people tell me I have no risk tolerance for this because I can't tell you why it's down 20% today and why it was up 20% the week before.
And I apologize. This is courtesy of Bloomberg.
What is going on?
Well, I don't think anyone should be surprised if Bitcoin is pulling back, given it's nearly tripled in the last 6 weeks. So I would say it's very healthy. Otherwise, we'd be staring at a parabola that's gaining in acceleration, right? I mean, it would just mean, like, you know, by the end of next year, we'd be, you know, having to do log functions on the price. So, I think it's very healthy to see some consolidation here.
Yeah, but Tom, the story for me, in a market, I can tell you why the euro is a little bit softer today. I can tell you on any given day why treasuries have got a bid. I can never really tell you why Bitcoin is up or down. What's the story that goes with a price action?
Well, again, I think there's a really big misconception. Since 2013, if you wanted to say, has Bitcoin traveled on a path that's explained by measurable metrics, there's been two simple metrics. Anyone can access it. We've published on this multiple times this year.
Yeah.
If you look at the number of wallets and transaction activity per wallet, that's explained 94% of the move of Bitcoin.
We're going to listen to the rest of that, but I want to stop for a second. And I think we all know people that they went to Thanksgiving dinner, they heard family members talk about it or friends talk about it, and they jumped on. We've seen an explosion of users, especially on Coinbase, particularly in America. And anybody can jump in on this, but do you think that this correction was exacerbated because there were so many new people in the marketplace? And
Absolutely. I mean, that's a, you know, in listening to the interview, it's funny because you see all these guys are all hyped up. Oh, does Bitcoin drop 30%? I can't, blah, 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 blah. And Tom Lee is just such a calm, cool, collect guy. Hey, you know, this is expected. You know, we're, you know, hey, we've been doing the metrics on this. The pullback here is healthy. I mean, just putting calm in the market, unlike Novogratz that comes out and, you know, oh, 8,000 now is my call from 40. I mean, how do you go from 40 to 8,000? It blows my mind. But I really like Henry Lee. If you don't follow him, you should. But he's really got a very good take, a fundamental approach on Bitcoin, which few people have, and his take is correct. I mean, pullbacks are healthy, especially in explosive markets, and with all the new people coming in, all the new money coming in, you eventually run out of buyers.
Well, and one of the things that we couldn't see because it was video and not audio for the radio, on the early clip we played at the beginning of the show, people can go back to the podcast site and listen to it if they want, but one of the things they were pointing out on a chart, there's been four 30% corrections already this year, and three of which have retraced and gone to new highs, and we'll see if that's the case on this. Colleen, do you know many? You said you got a few people in just recently, and what you've been this? You're an old timer now. You've been at this since August. When you talk to people, though, the awareness of it, of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general, compared to it was 6 months ago in August. What have you noticed?
Yeah, most people I'd talk with when I first started, they didn't even know what Bitcoin was. Clearly, it's in the news all the time now. So, you know, if I'm hanging out in, say, a bar with my friends, and we start talking about...
you meant church, right, Colleen? You meant church, right?
Right. So,
that's called the altar.
Well, right, my church.
with a church key.
We'll often discuss Bitcoin, and before you know it, I've got a crowd of people around me asking me questions.
Well, you know, I saw I was in church the other day, believe it or not, Henry, and I saw when I went to the offering plate came around, there was a little Bitcoin scanner thing there, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, this is great. What a great idea. I mean, you just scan your tithe for the week in there.
Anybody else want to jump on this before I get the rest of the audio?
All right, so
being
talking about the noobs in the field and everything, I read something earlier, and I sent it to myself. So in terms of people just doing knee-jerk reaction stuff, there's an IT company out there that changed its name to Long Blockchain, and its stock doubled overnight. They didn't actually do anything. They said they were going to incorporate blockchain technology. They hadn't done anything yet, and their stock doubled because they changed the name.
You know, the SEC is investigating them for that, and they weren't the only ones to do that. It's been quite the good shorting game if you can find those that come out, because they add blockchain to the end of their title, and the stock goes up. And you know, what was the other one? There's another one out there. Do you remember what it is, Henry?
No, I don't. But I want to get to Augie if you get to the rest of this audio, so we'll get to stay on.
You know, the shorting is the key, and who's doing the shorting? Jamie Dimon all over again, or Cuban.
Or the former bulls that
right, exactly.
were pumping it up.
Right.
And we won't have time to talk about it until maybe the very end of the show, but we have John McAfee doing a coin of the day. And the coins are moving before he announces them on Twitter.
When you get a lot of buyers coming in who are ignorant, and most people are ignorant of something, and the art of this business is to pull in buyers at their peril. I'm sorry.
All right, let's go back to Tom Lee. Putting punctuation on Augie's comments there about whether this is a bubble.
The last 4 years. So Bitcoin is actually essentially following network value, that as there's greater recognition, which means people open an account either on an exchange or, you know, they open their own Bitcoin, they acquire Bitcoin, and as it's actually being used, that network value is explaining 94% move. Now, if you had to look at that model and what Bitcoin did in the last 6 weeks,
there's been a significant divergence. I mean, there has been an increase in wallets, but the premium to that is significant. And we wrote about how that premium in November was over 40%, and Bitcoin retraced 40%.
Yeah.
So, you know, is Bitcoin just trading on pure speculation? If anyone says that, they haven't done their work. And I would say if someone says Bitcoin's a bubble, it's the smallest, least held bubble I've ever met. I don't know very many institutions that own Bitcoin. So how can something be deemed a bubble that's only held by a few?
I don't know if quantity is the
determinant. No, that's bull. I'm sorry, that's just bull. You can, when you have people like Diamond screwing around with this thing and his friends, and Cuban is mocking this thing as well.
Mark Cuban,
thank you. You know they know, and so when they're playing the thing, and Andy knows, Andy's a gold man at the heart of it all. So he's going to take his gain and buy gold. He is not going to buy Bitcoin, or not much of it, by comparison.
He's nodding there, but we want to get through this. We'll let you wrap everything up after this. I want to get to Bloomberg. Normally, I prefer Bloomberg to CNBC, but the apologist for Novogratz, who was the author of the story here and the reporter on the live TV, I think really went over a bridge too far trying to say this was just all on the up and up.
Michael Novogratz has shelved plans to start a crypto hedge fund. Now, this became news a couple of weeks ago when the hedge fund manager said he was going to start a fund specifically dedicated to cryptocurrencies.
Now, I don't know if they're going to point this out, but the date that the fund was supposed to start was December 15th, and now they're reporting it on December 22nd as a big story. And I guess nobody noticed for the last week that that fund hadn't launched, and nobody bothered to do a story about that. Just keep that in mind as they go through these dates.
I have a quote. We didn't like market conditions. He said the Galaxy Hedge Fund, as it was supposed to be called, was
so they didn't like conditions, but that was the week it was peaking, which may be a good reason not to do it. You're trying to get in here. Go ahead, Andy.
Go ahead and play the audio, but yeah.
Yeah, because this is about 3 minutes, and we're going to try and get Rosa and Gabe on before the top of the hour here.
To launch December 15th, which is just 7 days ago. Once again, Michael Novogratz shelving plans for that crypto fund, and he says Bitcoin may drop as low as $8,000 in the near term, so take heed. Have a listen to the soundbite that Michael Novogratz made to Bloomberg just a couple of weeks ago, late November.
This is a bubble, and there's a lot of fraud mixed in. There's a lot of froth and fraud in anything that's as exciting as this. So I think this is going to become the biggest bubble of our lifetimes by a long shot, mostly because it's so
global. I want the record to show I didn't say that.
Mostly because it's so global.
And I'll point out here, this was November 28th. In that same interview, he also gave his $40,000 Bitcoin prediction while he was saying it was the biggest bubble ever. He then subsequently increased his number to $50,000. Remember, this is just 3.5 weeks ago that this is all going down. Keep that timeline in mind.
All right. The person who broke the story is with us now, Eric Schatzker, of course, my colleague. Eric, why? What? He didn't like market conditions a week ago, or he didn't like them yesterday?
By the way, the interplay between these two, it could be just like pro wrestling. They already knew who the good cop, bad cop was beforehand. But I like the way that she does ask the questions that he should be asked and doesn't answer very well.
A week ago, and if you were starting a Bitcoin hedge fund, a cryptocurrency hedge fund, Vonnie, you wouldn't like market conditions either.
All right, so we've got to take that right apart now. So that a week ago, you wouldn't like the conditions. You have $500 million committed to you. He's going to say you don't like the conditions because it's shot up. It's a bad time to invest. You also, in these markets, have now the ability on the CBOE or the CME to be shorting this with future contracts. So if that's what you think, your $500 million, you should be making a ton of money for your investors. All right?
Mike Novogratz is a career macro trader. He's been doing this for 30 years. As you heard in that clip, he predicted the cryptocurrencies would be the biggest speculative bubble of our lifetimes. And would you want to start a hedge fund in the middle of that? He himself has made a ton of money, but it's a big difference managing your own money and managing your own net worth against managing other people's money and becoming a fiduciary for them.
But you know what? That was the problem even before he announced he was going to start one. That was always a problem in this sphere.
What? Well, no. Let's rewind the tape, if you will, a few months. Bitcoin started the year just above $1,000. At the time Mike Novogratz was thinking about starting this hedge fund, it was trading in the threes. By the time he spoke to me and we reported it, it was trading in the fours. Mm. So Bitcoin has gone from $4,000 in the middle of September when we first started talking about this to a high of more than $19,500 on December the 18th.
So while he was personally invested, he was touting this hedge fund that was going to take advantage of all this and getting commitments in investors and giving price targets of three and four higher than Tom Lee, by factors of three or four higher than Tom Lee, and he was accumulating in his own account. And quickly, Augie, because we've got a couple minutes here.
Sounds like Donald Trump.
Well, all right. Thank you, Augie. We'll let that one go.
People have likened it to the tulip craze for good reason.
You could say he added to that frenzy to a certain extent by saying he was going to go out and raise a bunch of money.
I think he might even acknowledge that.
Yes.
But again, going back to this business about being a fiduciary, you have to feel good about managing other people's money. Mike Novogratz has not given up on Bitcoin. He hasn't given up on Ether. He hasn't given up on cryptocurrencies, either as a store of value or as a medium of exchange within a tokenized industry, if you will. But he says that the recent trading activity showed all the characteristics of a speculative market top.
Two quick questions. Did he sell out of some of his Bitcoin positions?
He has been selling some of his positions, but to be fair, he's been trading in and out. And he has been selling over a period of time. He told me, for example, that he sold Bitcoin at 13,000.
Now, I have seen nothing that said he was buying in, at least as of going into this correction. Now, all I've heard is that he's been selling between 13,000 and 16,000.
So he wants to buy back in it. He wants to buy back in at 8, is what he's saying. Yeah. And so now he's Mr. Bear on the barn.
All right. Unwrap up here.
16,000, 17,000. He sold Ether at $600, at $700, and at $800. He lost money today, for sure, but he says he's still up on the month.
Last question, 10 seconds, Eric. What will he do with the $500 million that apparently he's raised all or much of?
No. He hasn't raised $500 million. He had commitments, and for how much, he wouldn't tell me, but he had commitments, which is to say people had told him they were going to invest in the fund, but he never took that money, and so it never got put to work. That was supposed to be what happened on December the 15th. On December the 13th, he called these clients and said, you know what, I'm putting this plan on hold. I'm pressing the pause button.
And 9 days later, we reported to you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Michael Novogratz.
Those promises are always wonderful, aren't they? They come through.
Well, also, I think the people with the $500 million might have been investing on their own their anticipation.
What I'm waiting for is someone to say, I'm incorporating around this ownership, and therefore I'm going to take advantage of the tax laws at the end of the guidance and rule of the IRS. I'm waiting for that.
Well, and you think about it, $500 million, that's, what, 20% of the market cap?
Alex, can you go to CoinMarketCap right now? And let's just do, before we go to break, this. So we had a low of around 11,000. What is Bitcoin today as we speak? You got to talk into the mic.
Bitcoin right now is $15,156.90, up 15%. Ethereum, $740.93.
And Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash?
Bitcoin Cash is $3,340.03, up 30%. And Litecoin is $298.72.
And so last night, and I do want to get to the break, but you sent us all in the group text a screenshot, and you said there was a wall of sellers at 2,700. So we've broken through that then.
Oh, yeah. I was in, we're headed higher.
So maybe if... as he was selling into these numbers that were on the report, he had a brief opportunity to buy and recoup his profit if he did. If he didn't, then I guess...
Well, I'm sure he did.
We know it. Okay, we're going to come back on the other side of this break with Gabe Higgins and Rosa Shores and all the panel here, Alex, Colleen, Sabine, Augie, Andy, myself, and we will find out what's going on the other side of the bay up in Tampa.